to Revelation chapter 21. I said we're going to heaven this morning in the same sense that when we have missionaries come in, I say we're going to go to Brazil or we're going to go to Pakistan. Well, I guess we haven't had any missionaries going there, but we're going to go to heaven this morning. I had a lot of fun putting today's message together, and a lot of hours as well. And so I got to put a disclaimer in before we go through this that I stole all the pictures off the internet. And most of them are artist conceptions, and I tried to do the best I could, but some of them, again, might have some misleading things in there, but I want us again to focus a little bit on going to heaven and all that that's going to mean. And so I've enjoyed tremendously putting this message together, and let's go ahead and look at Revelation chapter 21. Lord willing, we're going to get through this whole chapter today in PowerPoint slides, and so let's stand for the reading of God's Word, and let's do this morning. Let's go ahead and read the first four verses of Revelation chapter 21 aloud and together. Watch again the detail. This is some tremendous stuff again that we have. It'd be good to memorize all four of these verses if you've got a mind that memorizes. If you don't, just scrape the rust off and memorize them anyway. But there's some good verses right here, especially get verse 4. Again, we had that from memory verse from Brother Bennett when he was here, recommended that we memorize Revelation 21:4. Look with me in your Bible and let's read together Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away, and this is where we're stopping. Praise the Lord. There again, we have a description that opens our glimpse into heaven today. Father, praise you. Thank you for your word. We marvel at it. We stand in awe again of what you're doing for us, even right now and even in this life. But Father, we praise you again and thank you for the description you gave of our mansion, of our home, where we're going to spend eternity with you. We can't comprehend it. Father, we're going to glimpse at it a little bit today, and I pray again that you'd put a joy and a hope in each heart that's here. We'll give you all the praise. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated. There's descriptions that we have of heaven, and notice that before I was a little nervous coming to preach today because I don't have any paper to preach from, so I'm counting on technology. And I've watched some people get burnt on that before. And so let's see if this stuff's going to work here again, and we'll be all set. Can we see that screen okay? All right, heaven, I'm going there. We want to look at some things again about heaven. And in doing that, again, as I said, I've taken license here of a bunch of artists that have portrayed some things that I hope would be encouraging to us and give us a glimpse again. It's kind of like watching Exodus from Charlton Heston's point of view. You see things again that you hadn't realized before or looked at before, even though Some of it, again, maybe read between the lines. And so today we're going to take a trip to heaven and look at some things again that's, I hope, to be a real blessing to you. Heaven, I'm going there. We'd already covered the fact, again, that we're not going to go like this. This is a corruptible body. And so we're going to need some changes. And so as we go through these slides here, I just want to go ahead and put together real quickly. Yeah, we can do this. A glimpse of heaven. How does one know that you're going to heaven? Well, of course, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 17 and 18 that we started memorizing, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so that's from the Lord's inerrant, infallible Word. God inspired His words for us, the very words that we read in this book. And we've already covered the fact that we don't like it when men change them around and give what they think God meant to say. And so again, all of our quotations here in English are from the King James Bible. And you can believe every word, and we're going to lean on them even here today. Where will you spend eternity? John 14, 1 through 3 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions." Again, if you've got a modernist Bible, they've taken the word mansions out and put you in a room, okay? Or a cell or something. But if it were not so, the Bible says, "I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And so notice here again that there is a prepared place for a prepared people. And as I said, you can't go the way we are. And so there's two aspects of being prepared. And number one is that you are a born-again Christian. There's no other name given among men whereby ye must be saved. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And again, we're saved from the penalty of sin. And again, that means again that we'll have an incorruptible body that we mentioned a couple weeks ago. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That's a sign that I found on a nursery in a church that we went to. I think I was taken a little bit out of context again. Notice here it says in 1 Corinthians 15, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." And so again, notice there's a change coming before we can survive in heaven with a incorruptible body that we'll have. And so I want to look briefly at, in the Bible, what is heaven? Bible speaks of three heavens in the Bible. There's a heaven where the birds fly. There's a heaven where the stars fly. And then there's a third heaven. Remember, Paul said he was caught up to the third heaven. And the third heaven is the place, it's out of this universe. The third heaven is a place where the glory of God, the full glory of God, dwells there. And again, notice that again, where the full glory of God dwells, you and I cannot dwell with sin in our lives. It's got to be cleansed from our lives. And so when we say we're going to heaven, we're going to pass through the first two. And we're talking about standing in the very presence of God. Of God Himself. We're familiar in the Mount of Transfiguration that God came down and stood in the very presence of man in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's going to be something bigger than that. It's going to be something different where we're going to go and stand in the very presence of God. And so what about the streets of gold? Where does that show up? What about no more pain? What about no more tears? The verses that we read here in Revelation chapter 21. Notice again that they are going to happen, but there's a timing in God's plan and the timing in God's revelation of what's going to happen in the future. Those that have been around for, we're coming up on our, 19th hunt for the last October prophecy conference, starting in October, where we look at these things in greater detail. Today, I just want to click through them real fast. But before we get to heaven, there's going to be a rapture. At that time, again, we're going to receive a glorified body. Then he which are we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And notice again that if you're in his presence, you're in heaven. So when we say we're going to die and go to heaven, that's literally true. And that's not necessarily the streets of gold. We're going to look at that in a minute. But when we're in his presence, we are in heaven. Okay, and so it's okay to say, well, I'm going to die and go to heaven. But it's a little bit sketchy to say I'm going to die and walk on streets of gold. There's at least 1,000 years before that's going to happen. So again, we want to make that clarification. And here we understand that first, there's going to be a rapture of the church. Then there's going to be what we call the Bema Seat Judgment, as given by Paul. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. That's for believers. That's when we're first caught up into his presence. That's for the bride at the marriage feast. And so there's going to be what we call a Bema Seat Judgment. And we want to look at that again as we study more doctrine. Again, the fact that we're going to all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, but not for our sins. And then we find here on this earth there is a 7-year tribulation. That 7-year tribulation period has 7 seals, 7 trumpets, and there are the 7 vials of the wrath of God. And there are 7 literal years. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. During that 7-year tribulation. I didn't get my slides changed here. So, during that 7-year tribulation, the dragon, the beast, the false prophet, the 144,000 witnesses, the 2 indestructible witnesses, the 7 trumpets, the 7 vials of the wrath of God. And so notice again that that's the 7-year tribulation that we've talked about. It culminates in what we call the Battle of Armageddon, right out of Revelation 16 and verse 16. And he gathered them together into a place called the, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. The great tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble, culminates in what we understand to be the Battle of Armageddon. And that ushers in, again, the kingdom age. The kingdom age where the Lord Jesus Christ, on the throne of David in the hills of Zion, will rule the earth for 1,000 literal years. The raptured church will rule and reign with Christ. I don't know what kind of bodies we're having, except it's going to be like Christ's. It's going to be our resurrected body. It's going to be, again, an uncorruptible body. But the Bible says that you and I are going to rule and reign with Christ. Now stop, think. There's no other way for you and I to endure to the end, to enter with our physical bodies into the kingdom age. When you see enduring to the end for tribulation saints, that's so they can enter into the kingdom age. But you and I, there's no way that we can, with these corruptible bodies, enter into that kingdom age. But there will be those that are on earth living in physical bodies and be in that kingdom age. And so all those things, again, we study out in our hunt for the last October. And that is followed again by Revelation chapter 20. The great white throne judgment. And if you back up just a couple verses in your Bible, you'll notice in verse 15 of chapter 20, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so, again, the emphasis here again is your name written down? Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? You get that written down when you are born again. And so after all of this, now all those events that I just listed, after all of that comes Revelation chapter 21, the streets of gold and the no more tears. Revelation 21, 1 and 2 that we just read, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Remember, Peter talks about the former things are going to be burned away with a great and fervent heat, and they'll be gone. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Why is it important that there's no sea in this new heaven and a new earth? Well, there's going to be no... I don't know if we're going to bask on the ocean or not. It still could, right? It's just that there's no ocean between that divides us. And that's what the sea does. It divides people. It divides nations. It divides continents. And so there's no more sea. One of the first no mores we find here in this chapter. And so there's no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, don't confuse this. You and I are the chaste virgin that are kept as believers to be the bride of Christ. This is not that we're going to be confused here with Jerusalem. This is a simile that, again, it's prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And you and I that are going to live in this city are going at that time to be the bride. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." Now listen, that is there several times in the Old Testament that's what God wanted for the nation of Israel, to tabernacle with them, to be with them. But here, this is bigger than that. This is all of mankind. That was his intent in Genesis. That was his intent by bringing the tabernacle, again, that the tabernacle of God is with man. And so, again, that's God's always been God's intent. And here we find a culmination of that event where God, again, tabernacles with men, and he is their God. Revelation 21:4 that we just read also. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And we have, again, God's inerrant word on that. The seven no mores. My son first preached this in junior church. I gave him the outline or the idea. And I said, pick seven no mores in heaven and preach them. And he did. His first message he preached was seven no mores in heaven. And he preached it in 7 minutes. Okay. So what are you supposed to do with the rest of the 20 minutes? So I'm going to preach this in 7 minutes. Seven no mores in heaven. There's no more sea that we just mentioned. Seas divide people. There's no more divisions. There's no more tears. Verse 4. No more heartbreaks. No more tears to dim the eye, the songwriter said. There's no more death. There's eturnal life. Not a single hearse in heaven. Not a single graveyard to be found. There's number 4. There's no more sorrow. If there's no sin, there's no sorrow, and there's no sin in heaven. Number 5, there's no more crying. Never needing to cry out to God. Never needing to cry out to man. Never needing to cry out to anything. There's no more crying in heaven. There's no more pain. Hallelujah. No aches, no injuries, no smashed fingers. No arthritis, no bursitis, no tendonitis. No, it's a family member that will not be in any of the itises are forbidden from heaven. There will be no cancers in heaven, hallelujah. There's no death there. And the seventh no more of heaven is found in another chapter. So notice it here in verse 25 of the next chapter. "And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there." Why is there no night there? "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And so we see that there's no night there because Jesus is there, and it's a perpetual day. It's been said that when God took Enoch to heaven, why don't you come and spend the night with me instead? We'd walk with God so far. And when he went to spend the night with God, he found out that there was no night there. And he's still there today. So we see again, if God built this in 6 days, the things that we see in this world, who's mentioned the little fawns dancing around in their front yard in Sunday school, praise the Lord. If God built all of this for us in 6 days, what might he have built in 2,000 years? And so we want to just whet your imagination a little bit here from the book of Revelation in chapter 21. There came unto me one of the seven angels and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. There's a city again, having the glory of God, the Bible said. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, as clear as crystal. The crystal city, it's been called, next to the crystal river. And it had a great wall, great and high, and had 12 gates. And the gates, 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. I can only find one picture of this, and it doesn't show up well here. But written in there in the Hebrew, praise the Lord, over each gate is the name of the 12 tribes of Israel. And notice again that you don't find this later, but each gate is as a pearl. And you can kind of see the pearl outline there. That's a pearly gates. Now, listen, when the world talks about pearly gate, they're all confused. And notice again that they don't know anything about the 12 tribes of Israel. When they talk about a pearly gate, they think St. Peter's standing there. And notice how untrue that is from what the Word of God says. Their model is completely defunct. On the east, there's 3 gates. And on the north, there's 3 gates. And on the south, there's 3 gates, and on the west, there's 3 gates. Again, the artist conceived of the city lowering down to this earth out of heaven. Notice again, then, there's a description of the wall in verse 14. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And then the 12 foundations are also described in this chapter as the stones that they are. I pulled this out of the NIV Bible. There's a Heavenly Jerusalem foundations, and it gives the 12 apostles. But notice that they changed all the stones around, again, to give them a new revised standard version of what the stones are. And I didn't have time to change all of them back to what they're supposed to be. But notice again here that apostles have, there's 12 apostles. How do you know there's 12 apostles? Because there's 12 foundations, all right? So there's 12 apostles. Is Paul one of the apostles? Well, yes, of course, he said so, okay? And the Bible's clear that Paul's one of the apostles. And so notice again that sometimes our count goes to 13 because of what they did in Acts chapter 1. But certainly the Bible's clear. There's 12 foundations, and each one is representative of one of the apostles. And notice also that those 12 foundations are what Jesus Christ is to build his church on. And so we are built on the doctrine, the teaching of the apostles. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And so we see that angel again. And notice again that they're now going to measure this city. Here's the best picture I've liked out of all of them. And when I was teaching science, we went ahead and built a model, a pyramid model of the city, and stuck it on the side of our globe at school up at Seneca Falls. to depict how big it is. And there's a good picture of that again. And notice the pyramid size. That's called a four-square pyramid. And so when the Bible says four-square, everyone else has made a giant cube again that sets into space. Certainly a four-square pyramid would fit equally well in this description. And the city lieth four-square, the Bible says. And the length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. How big is that? That's pretty big, all right. 12,000 furlongs. And notice again in the picture, it stuck out into outer space. Notice the Welcome to New Jerusalem button laying over the United States there. That would be the dimensions of this city if it sat on top of the United States. Above that is the New Jerusalem sitting over the old temple. And notice that it ain't going to fit in this world. This is going to need a new heaven and a new earth to hold this city of God. 12,000 furlongs, and he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits according to the measure of the man, that is, of the angel. And so we have the dimensions that are unbelievable. Listen. The dimensions of this city are impossible. Unless you believe your Bible, praise the Lord, every word. And the building of this wall, and the building of the wall of it was jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Again, the artist's conception gives us some imagination. I like this picture here too. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And notice the 12 foundations stacked. I don't think it's going to be stacked quite that way again, but that's a representation of those stones that are called out in your Bible. So we're over to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 19, where it names the foundations. And let's go through and look at the foundations as it's given there in the Word of God. It says, the first foundation was jasper. There's a picture of a jasper stone. The second, sapphire. And there's a picture of a sapphire stone. The third, chalcedony. There's a picture again of a chalcedony stone. When we're looking at these stones, it's interesting when you study all the stones out in the Bible. Lucifer had stones as well in his breastplate. Israel had stones in his breastplate. The high priest did. And these stones are different. The different ones, again, depict different things. And there's a regular, I got a 3-week message I could preach on the different stones, again, that are represented. And these stones here, these 12, are different still from the ones representative of Israel. Where did I get to? The fourth was an emerald. The fifth was a sardonyx. The sixth was a sardius. The seventh was a chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, a topaz. The tenth, chrysophorus. The 11th, jacinth. The 12th, amethyst. So we have again a description, a depiction of these 12 precious stones that are going to make up the foundation of heaven. Each of those stones, again, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but there's 12 birthstones. Anyone notice the 12 birthstones? There's another set of stones called birthstones that's different than all the rest of these again, but there's similarities. And each one of them stones is representative of things. So it is for these apostles. Each one of these stones, and before in the other picture, they tried to line up which apostle fits best with each stone. That's a curious task to do. But again, there's going to be representative of the 12 foundations that's in heaven. How would we depict that? We have really no idea. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. And notice again, the little picture there of the 12 pearly gates are in the foundation in the one depiction there of the giant cube. And so we see again that this city is described as best as we could portray it, as best as we could imagine it. is only, again, a figment of our imagination to how much glory that is present in this city. Verse 25 is, of course, depicted in what we just read, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And so we see again this description of this tremendous city. The greatest thing about it, again, is that the Lamb is going to be there. I've done a series, again, on the tabernacles of God, where God tabernacles with man, the Creator dwelling in fellowship with His creature. Chapter upon chapter of the Pentateuch are consumed with the detailed descriptions of this tabernacling of God with man. The study of this wonder is a revelation about our relationship with God. There is the tabernacle. There is Solomon's temple. Then there is Herod's temple in these depictions. But here's the greatest of all, again, in Revelation chapter 21. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." Notice again, we pick the Shekinah glory of God back here on the back walls, that picture of the very presence of God being with the nation of Israel. He was in a pillar of fire by night, a pillar of smoke by day, and His presence was visualized today, and that entered into the temple. If you remember reading of Solomon's dedication of his temple, the presence of God came. That was in the temple again when God left also the temple in Ezekiel there, who saw the wheel in the middle of a wheel again, and he saw the very presence of God with the great clouds departing from the temple. And today again, the Shekinah glory of God dwells in His temple. But you can't see it, because in the Old Testament, God built a temple for His people. In the New Testament, God builds a people for His temple. And we are the temple of God. And if anyone's going to see the Shekinah glory of God today, they're going to see it in your life. They're going to see it in my life, because we are the temple of God. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." Praise the Lord, we're going to heaven. And as we again go there, I want you to back up to Revelation chapter 4. And we want to look at Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Before we do, jump over and look at chapter 5 and verse 5. "And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a Lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth." Revelation 4:11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Father, praise You again. Thank You. Thank You again, Father, for heaven. Thank You again, Father, for just Your ability to describe it to our finite mind. And Father, I pray, even as we consider these things, that we joy all the more. Father, that we've had a glimpse there that could only stimulate our imagination a little bit. And I thank you again for a book that describes it in such great detail. Father, I pray again that you'd touch our hearts, that we again would know that we are going there. And Father, even that you'd burden our hearts a little for those who aren't, that we'd again be your witnesses. We'll praise you now and thank you for your blessing on what we've looked at from Revelation 21. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, amen. Let's stand. We're dismissed with a song. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Boy, it's good to be saved. After studying heaven for a little bit, it's even gooder to be saved. So let's go ahead and sing that. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Praise the Lord. All these slides are available on our webpage if you'd like them. They're available in the presentation up here. If you've got a dipstick, we could plug in there and give them to you for your home computers. I guess people don't even have home computers hardly anymore. So I don't know how you're going to get them on your phone. Like, good luck with that again, but they're available on the web. Father, praise you again and thank you that we could worship. Go with us now as we began our week in worship of your Son. Touch each one that's here. May we be encouraged. May we be strengthened. And Father, that you go with us into this week. And in Christ's name, we praise you for it. Amen.
I don't know.
For you, as tall as his grandma's body. He won't be for as tall as his body. As opposed to
daddy. Oh, I did.
Oh, yeah. You said you've got to keep one.
It sounded like a phone diary.
Yeah, that's what I call it. My computer at home, just before my phone rings,
David, you'll catch a truck for me, right? Come on.
what's going on with Bill and Jim? Okay, I talked to them both yesterday. Everything was good.
Got it.
Sure you go.
That was
fun.
Monday and Tuesday, 7 in the morning until about 2, 2 and 2:30, and then had Wednesday off.